Chapter 17. There did not seem to be anyone in command, but the Raven Guard prided themselves on their autonomy and initiative. Lacking orders from their superiors, the sergeants mustered their squads to the defence of Ravendelve. Balsa Kuthuri found himself with Sergeant Caban and an ad hoc squad of 7 other legionaries heading towards the murk of the Rad Wastes towards the enemy's attack. Macro cannon rounds screamed overhead from the remaining defence towers, answered by shells, lasfire, and plasma bolts from the renegade titans escorting the column. The residual atomic fallout was interfering with Balsar's autosenses, leaving him half-blind in the thick fog, unable to use thermal or wide-spectrum scanning. He deactivated his armour sensors, relying on his own augmented vision to pierce the gloom. The black-clad warriors to either side of him were barely visible, but their armour transponders relayed their locations to a schematic in his visor. Sergeant Caban was at the front, and it was from him that there came a crackled warning over the vox.
"We have movement. 50 meters ahead and right. Infantry. Disperse right 30 meters. No friendly forces in the area. Engage on sight."
Balsar picked his way over a pile of slag, casting his gaze to the left and right. It would be so easy to open up his other sight, allowing the potential of his mind to flow outwards to detect the enemy. It would also be simple enough to incinerate them with a psychic blast once they were found, and the temptation to use his powers was almost overwhelming. There were no chaplains left within the Legion to enforce the Edict of Nicaea, and Balsar recalled Lord Korax's words from outside the vault room. The situation had changed, and it was surely sensible to use every weapon available against the traitors. Balsar was still not sure what had happened next. He had definitely felt a connection with the psychic locks placed upon the door, intricately beautiful and impenetrable. It had been an urge from within to engage his psychic powers, and had Balsar ever wanted to discuss the event with another, he would have claimed he had been guided by the Emperor. It certainly had felt as if an outside agent had been controlling his thoughts for those few moments, and remembering the complexity of the seals placed on the door, Balsar was sure he would not have been able to dismantle them on his own. If the Emperor had acted then, as seemed to be the case, then surely that was license for Balsar to use his powers again. A deeper shadow emerged from the fog just to Balsar's left. The Raven Guard fought back the urge to reach out with his thoughts. Instead, he brought up his bolter and opened fire, hitting the figure low in the torso with 2 rounds.
"Enemy!" he announced over the vox. "One down!"
He opened fire again at more silhouetted targets, telling himself it was not his place to second-guess the judgment of the Emperor. The air in the antechamber was well below freezing point, the walls crusted with ice. 5 more Alpha Legionnaires stood watch in the corridor outside, masquerading as Raven Guard, while Ort and Nestil went through the process of shutting down the stasis field generators in the main vault. Solaro stood ready with the digital key, idly snapping small icicles from the cover of the keypad with the tip of his finger.
"Why the delay?"
Solaro asked, looking over his shoulder at Ort. The other legionary stood at an open power relay panel, shaking his head.
"Is this really necessary?" asked Ort.
"The Primarch was specific," said Solaro. "Just shut it down."
"I don't know," said Ort, stepping back from the relay. "It's one thing to take the Raven Guard out of the war. It's another to wipe them out entirely. When Horus defeats the Emperor, we'll need allies to rebuild the Imperium."
"You're an idiot," said Nestil, pulling out a transformer switch. "The Raven Guard will never serve Horus now, not after Istvan. Korax is too stubborn. When we win, they will just disappear like they always do and continue fighting us at every chance. Do you want to spend years watching your back, wondering when the Raven Guard will come for us?"
"We've all seen what that mutagen did to the raptors," said Ort. "It's tainted, unnatural. And the word bearers, we all saw them at Istvan, and I saw them up close at Cruciax. I don't think it's Horus that's behind this war. It's something a lot worse. You know what I'm talking about."
Nestil turned, a cluster of wires in his fist.
"More fool them," he said. "I know what you're talking about, and we all heard Korax's speech. This war was coming, like it or not, and we had to choose a side. Better that we are with the victors than with the losers. The Emperor's forces were crippled at Istvan. That could have been us between the guns of the Word-Bearers and Iron Warriors. Be thankful the twin Primarchs made the right choice."
"It's too late to have second thoughts," said Solaro.
What the word-bearers choose to do is up to them. We don't have to pay attention to them any more. Let them dabble in their sorcery. It'll burn them in the end, and we'll be the ones left laughing.
Besides, said Nestil, returning to his work, with this gene tech, the Alpha Legion will be the ones who hold the balance of power. Us, not Lorgar, Angron, or even Horus.
Ort said nothing as he stepped back up to the relay panel and began to disconnect the cables.
What was that?
Said Nestil, glancing towards the door. Solaro had heard it too, a shot ringing out against the background of the bombardment.
Maybe those stupid guilders have actually managed to get through the curtain wall, said Ort.
No, that was inside, close by, said Solaro. Suddenly, the bark of bolter fire filled the corridor outside.
Keep working,
he snapped, moving towards the door. The Alpha Legionnaires on watch were firing down the corridor to the right, blazing away freely. Bolt rounds were screaming past them from the direction of fire. Drawing up his bolt pistol and power sword, Solaro stepped out and turned just as one of the Legionnaires crashed to the ground, armour riddled with jagged holes. From the direction of the infirmary, a group of misshapen warriors were attacking, taking cover behind the roof supports that jutted from the bulkheads every few metres. Solaro looked into dozens of fury-filled red eyes, in faces contorted with horns, fangs, and tusks. Some of the attackers were covered in scales of red or green. Some were muscle-contorted monstrosities, whose biceps and shoulders bulged under the fabric of their robes. All of them were armed, the hail of bolter fire intensifying as more poured through the doors at the end of the passageway and emerged from the chambers connected to the infirmary. A round glanced from Solaro's shoulder pad, sending splinters of ceramite flying.
Forget that,
he snapped, ducking back into the vault's entry chamber.
We're too late. It's time to leave.
Ort and Nestil stopped what they were doing and snatched up the bolters they had set aside to work on the energy relays. They closed in behind Solaro, who stepped to the corner of the door and snapped off a few shots at the incoming raptors.
We'll cover you,
said one of the Alpha Legionnaires, slamming home a fresh magazine into his weapon as bolt detonations erupted on the stanchion he was sheltering behind.
Run!
Solaro barked, waving his power sword.
Before they cut us off!
Pounding out into the passage, the three operatives turned and fled from the raptors, not even pausing to fire a shot. Solaro glanced back as they reached the far doors and saw that all but two of the Alpha Legionnaires had been taken down, selflessly putting themselves between the withdrawing operatives and the raptors. They were making good account of themselves, though, at least a dozen robed bodies sprawled across the floor of the corridor.
Make for the landing apron,
said Nestil as the security door hissed open in front of them. When they had passed through, Ort turned and fired into the lock control pad, bringing the door slamming down.
Let's see them come after us now, he said.
You abandoned our legionnaires back there, said Nestil.
They'll go down fighting, said Solaro, taking a turning to the right. We have to get out of here.
They sprinted through across the upper level of Ravendelve and made for the stairwell close to the main gate, which Solaro hoped was still in the hands of their comrades. Taking the steps three at a time, they launched themselves down the stairs, heading for the gatehouse. Reaching the bottom, they paused and looked around. In the courtyard behind the gatehouse were several legionaries in the livery of the Raven Guard, but it was impossible to tell if they were sons of Korax or simply masquerading as such. Two gigantic Praetorian servitors flanked the gate itself, along with a handful of the Mechanicum's Heraclei warriors.
Through here,
said Ort, gesturing with his bolter towards the east tower guard room.
Calmly now, whispered Solaro. No need to rush.
The defenders by the gate paid little attention to three Raven Guard striding into the gatehouse, though Solaro felt a small amount of relief once they were out of sight again.
How do we get out? Said Nestil.
The gallery is in ruins, replied Ort. Our Thunderhawk sort of that. We'll be able to jump down easily enough. I'm not sure about leaving the gene tech here, said Solaro. What if the other operative can't retrieve it?
It's too late to go back, said Nestil. We've done as we were ordered. It's time to extract.
Solaro conceded the point with a nod, and they made their way to the inner stairwell. The floor above was a rubble-choked ruin, the shards of the shattered gallery window scattered amongst the debris. The fog had thickened again, but standing on a pile of pulverized ferrocrete, Solaro could make out two bulky shapes out by the landing field.
The Thunderhawks are still here, "As I thought," he said, sheathing his power sword and holstering his pistol. He grabbed hold of a twisted plasteel reinforcing rod jutting from the remains of the outer wall and swung out of the gallery.
"Come on!"
They had to drop the last few metres to the ground, but there was no sign of any Raven Guard in the vicinity. The steady, thunderous report of the surviving macro cannon punctuated the whine and boom of falling artillery shells, but the Guilders seemed to be targeting the other end of Ravendelve. Overhead, Stormbirds and Thunderhawks were diving through the clouds, their cannons and missiles raining fire down onto the Guilder column. Solara could see a plume of bluish fire dancing above the curtain wall, the leaking plasma reactor of a Warhound Titan. As they approached the closest Thunderhawk, Solaro felt a creeping unease. He activated his Voxlink, trying to hail the pilot, but received no reply. Approaching through the mist, he discovered that the cockpit canopy was shattered, and there were several smoking holes in the fuselage.
"Let's hope the other one is undamaged," said Nestil, cutting to the right under the Thunderhawk's wing.
"Hope is a weakness," a voice called out from behind them. "It is the first step on the road to disappointment. If you were Raven Guard, you would know that."
Solaro turned, drawing his weapons. A black armoured figure stood at the edge of the landing pad. He had a las cannon held up to his shoulder, aimed at the Alpha Legionnaires, its cable snaking down to a power pack on the ground beside him. He stood with one foot on an octagonal box that had a thick metal grip handle running around its circumference. Lights winked in sequence on a small display beside the Raven Guard's foot.
"It's over," the figure called out. "You have no way of escaping. The wrathful Vanguard and the Triumph are moving in to blockade the planet even as I speak."
His surprise fading, Solaro recognized the voice.
"Agapito? It's me, Solaro. What are you doing?" he called back. "You might have his face, but you are not the Solaro that I knew," said Agapito, the las cannon directed at the foe commander. "The company you keep tells me that for sure." "You're making a mistake, Agapito," said Solaro, putting his pistol in its holster. "See? Don't do anything rash." "What do you mean about the company he keeps?" said Ort, glancing at the other two Alpha Legionnaires. "I didn't know about you, Ort, or whatever your name is. Unfortunately for you, your companions were not as thorough in hiding as they thought. Nestil, how did you recognize the Phalanx? The Raven Guard have never served in the same war zone as the Imperial Fist's fortress. And Solaro, who else would have clearance to break my command codes and use my personal channel? It certainly wasn't Bran or Aloni." "You're just one legionary," said Solaro. "What do you hope to achieve?" "You never fought for deliverance, Solaro," said Agapito, tapping his foot on the box beneath his boot. He pointed the las cannon at the device. "But I'm surprised you don't recognize an atomic charge when you see it. 500 kilotons, more than enough to wipe out Ravendelve and every traitor in it. You can't escape with the gene tech. I'll level this whole place if you try."
"You won't do that,"
said Nestil, taking a few steps back, bolter in both hands. Solaro heard a distinct thrum and glanced over his shoulder. 20 golden-armoured warriors were standing in the fog, power fields flickering along the blades of their halberds. The custodian guard were between the Alpha Legionnaires and the main gate.
"How many more of you have turned? What did the traitors offer you?" Agapito snarled. "What was the price the War Master placed on our Primarch's head?" "Our Primarch?" said Ort with a laugh. "You know nothing of our Pri..."
Solaro lashed out with a power sword, slashing through the fool's throat before he could say any more. The Alpha Legionnaire collapsed face first to the ground, gasping his last bloody breath into the acid-tinged puddles.
"Tell me!" roared Agapito. "Tell me what you know, and you will be granted quick deaths. If not, I am sure Lord Korax will make an exception to the ban on the Red Level. Even a legionary cannot endure the torments on offer there."
Solaro looked at Nestil, and though they could not see each other's faces, their subtle nods indicated they were in agreement.
"What makes you think you can take us alive?" Solaro snarled.
He lunged, thrusting his power sword through the heart of Nestil as the sergeant pulled the trigger and sent a bolt round, smashing through Solaro's helm. The two of them fell into each other and twisted to the ground, locked together in death. Caught between the wall of Ravendelve and the advancing forces of the Mechanicum, the outnumbered Gilderforce was pushed back into the Rand Wastes. Reinforcements from Deliverance harried the retreating foe, exacting revenge for those who had fallen, and the Imperial Fists under Captain Norris lent their strength to that of the Raven Guard. The battle continued well into the night, the sky awash with explosions and lasfire. In the city, the arrival of the Titans of the Legio Vindictus halted the Order of the Dragon, though great swathes of the city were left as blasted wasteland, the rubble choked with the dead of both sides. The sky above Kievar was filled with the smoke of thousands of fires, blotting out the stars and moons. Mechanicum aircraft dropped incendiary bombs and plasma charges onto the guild houses where the Order of the Dragon held out, whilst the guns of the Legio pounded away with shell and las blast. Under the orders of Korax, Ravendelve was sealed, the warriors of the Raptors and the Custodians slaying several Raven Guard that tried to leave under the cover of the confusion. With the immediate threat to the Gene Tech quashed, the Primarch ordered Commander Bran to stand down the Avengers' torpedoes and arrived to oversee the aftermath. He was met at the ruins of the main gate by Agapito and Arcatus, with a bodyguard of loyal warriors standing ready to escort the Primarch.
"I want an explanation, Commander, and I want it now," demanded Korax as he strode through the remnants of the gatehouse.
"The situation is very confused, Lord," said Agapito. "Ravendelve is secure from attack, but the threat within is uncertain. We tallied the dead from the fighting and have found more than 30 legionaries who do not appear on our records."
"Infiltrators," growled Korax. "Traitors, wearing the colours of the Raven Guard."
"What of Solaro and the others?" said Agapito. "Why would they turn against us?"
"I am not so sure they did," said Arcatus.
Agapito and Korax looked at the custodian for explanation.
"You have been the victims of a devious masquerade. My order understands intimately the means by which an intruder can enter an organization unnoticed. It is our sole task to thwart such attempts. I believe there is only one legion capable of such deception."
"The Alpha Legion," said Korax, growling again. "This treachery bears their hallmark."
"We shared air with Solaro for a long time. If he and the others were Alpha Legion in disguise, how can we say for certain that any of the others are loyal?" said Agapito. It was a tricky problem, but Korax knew the answer almost immediately.
"My true sons will bear my mark," said the Primarch.
They had reached the main hall, where the remaining Raven Guard had handed over their weapons and were being watched over by custodians and first-generation Raptors.
"My genetic data is wrapped up inside every cell of your bodies, while any infiltrators will bear the code of another Primarch. Have Vincente VI screen every legionary for genetic markers that do not match the Raven Guard gene seed."
"Six is dead, Lord," said Agapito. "He died, defending the gene project."
"What of Orlandrias?" said Korax. "Has he survived?"
"He is in the infirmary, working out what damage has been done by the traitors," replied Agapito.
"You cannot expect to continue with this project," said Arcatus, "not after what we have witnessed here. We barely stopped the traitors escaping with the genetic material. It is too much of a risk. I cannot allow it."
Korax stopped, stung by the custodian's words. He looked at the ring of Raptors in their combat-scarred armour, standing guard over their battle brothers without hesitation or complaint.
"What about those Raptors who have suffered from our mistakes?" said Korax. "Do we condemn them to their sorry existence?"
"Spare them the pain," said Arcatus. "Each of them contains the seed of what you have done here, and perhaps locked within their twisted bodies is the means to achieve what you hoped. They are just as much a threat as the data contained in the gene vault."
"No," said Agapito. "We cannot kill them out of hand. What reward is that for the service they have done for the Legion today?"
"Agapito is right," said Korax. "I cannot murder them in cold blood. They have the bodies of beasts, but they have proven that their hearts are Raven Guard."
The Primarch rubbed a hand across his brow,
conflicted in his thoughts. Was it folly to believe that he could right the wrong he had done to the Raptors? He had left Terra convinced he could rebuild the Raven Guard, and despite all that had happened, the need to confront Horus's forces still existed. Korax left the hall with Agapito and Arcatus beside him and made his way to the infirmary. At each conveyor and stairwell, armed raptors stood guard, their distinctive armour marking them out in the dim emergency lighting. The trio headed along the north corridor, passing by shuttered weapons lockers emblazoned with the icon of the Raven Guard. Two hulking Heraclei stood guard in front of one such row of metal boxes, their multi-barreled cannons tracking the Primarch and his companions as they passed. A Mechanicum acolyte loitered in the shadow of one of the brutes, fussing over the belt of his robe. With the Raven Guard garrison held under guard and the reinforcements engaging the guilders in the atomic marshes, Orlandrias and a contingent of his allies had provided much-needed security within and without Ravendelve.
If the Alpha Legion is involved, we must assume that they will not be content with simply destroying what they found, said Arcatus as they reached the conveyor that led to the infirmary. If you continue with this experimentation, you will attract the attention of Horus sooner or later.
Korax lifted a portable vox from his belt and opened up a command channel.
Let us see what the commander of the Raptors thinks, said the Primarch. Bran, have you heard what was said?
Aye, Lord, Bran replied over the communicator. Every word. Agapito and the custodian make good points, but I have a different view. If we continue, there is the possibility that we might find a means to reverse the predicament of the tainted Raptors. On the other hand, how many more recruits do we risk before its discovery? Lord, I think it is time that we closed this door and locked it forever. If we are to rebuild the Raven Guard, it has to be through the means we know and can trust.
Wise words, Commander, said Korax.
The group stepped into the conveyor, Korax bowing his head to avoid the ceiling. As the elevator shunted into life, the Primarch made a decision.
There are no swift answers to our situation. We have done all we can, but our efforts have fallen short. The Gene Project will be terminated immediately, and any research that was missed by the Alpha Legion will be destroyed.
What of the Raptors? Said Agapito. They are not to blame.
And I do not hold them at fault, the Primarch replied. I cannot, I will not, kill them out of hand. They were accepted into our Brotherhood of Warriors, and as members of the Legiones Astartes, they will be granted the same fate as all of us, to die with honour in battle against the Emperor's foes.
It is still your intent to launch an attack against the traitors? Asked Arcatus. Your legion is in disarray, Primarch.
The assault on Narsis will commence as planned, said Korax. If this episode proves anything, it is that the Raven Guard do not sit well when idle. In battle we thrive, not in contemplation. More than ever we need a victory, to restore spirits and forge a new brotherhood within the Legion. We have been divided for too long between those of Terra and the men who liberated Deliverance, between those who survived Istvan and those who saved us between the Veterans and the Raptors. No more. We are Raven Guard, and we shall show the Imperium that we are united.
They found Magos Orlandrias in the infirmary. The wards were full of casualties from the fighting, most of them the Raptors who had taken on the infiltrators without armour. Several dozen of the beds contained still forms, the blood-stained sheets drawn up over their faces. Korax stopped beside the bed of one of the Raptors, who had heavy bandaging around his chest.
The Legion owes you a great debt, Legionary, the Primarch said.
He knew the face and name of every man under his command, and the Raptor was no different.
It's Hef, isn't it? Navarre Hef.
Aye, Lord Korax,
said Navarre, grimacing as he struggled to sit up. Korax waved him to lie still.
I'm just happy that we could serve you.
You still can, said Korax.
He raised his voice to address the wounded across the ward.
Who among you thinks they are still battle-ready?
There was a chorus of shouts and enthusiastic calls.
For the Emperor and the Raven Guard, said Agapito, raising his fist. For the Emperor and the Raven Guard,
The raptors replied as one. Korax nodded and walked back into the inner sanctum, where he was met by Orlandrias, who had been talking with Arcatus.
"The custodian tells me you wish to gene test the whole legion, Lord," said the Magos. "I can begin testing within a few hours."
"And it will root out any Raven Guard who is not what he seems," said Agapito.
"I can assure you that no legionary will be able to hide his true nature, Commander."
Recalibrating his thermal regulator, Catho Juliaxis settled to his haunches with his back against the wall. He closed the metal shutters that served as eyelids in his altered face and wondered when he would be relieved of the tiresome duty of monitoring the Heraclei. The mute monstrosities were no company for a man of intellect. His aural detector picked up the sound of one of his charges moving. Opening his eyes, he looked up to see one of the Heraclei standing over him. Gazing into the shadow beneath the construct's hood, he was surprised to see intelligent eyes staring back at him.
"What?"
The immense Heraclei rammed his cannon under Juliaxis's chin, crushing his windpipe and snapping his neck with a single blow. The other beast looked on, confused by the behavior of its companion. Pulling down the shutter of the locker, the dead acolyte's body concealed within, Omegon slipped the box of gene data inside his robe. Affecting the lumbering gait of the Heraclei, he calmly walked out of the north corridor and headed for the gatehouse. It had been so tempting to gun down Korax when he had walked past, but the triumph would have been fleeting. The Alpha Legion understood better than all others that the greatest victories were often those that were unheralded and unnoticed. Better to slip away with a mission accomplished than attract attention for a temporary thrill. There were Mechanicum forces all about Ravendelve, and it took Omegon only a few minutes to mingle with the other Heraclei. Soon he found himself being led out of the compound to join the hunt for the Guilders. As the mists closed around the group of Skitarii, a ticking started in the base of his skull, indicating that a gunship from the Beta was within 500 meters. It was time to leave Kiavar for good. He had what he came for. There were shouts of panic as he opened fire, mowing down the other Heraclei and their Skitarii minders in a few long bursts. Leaving their bodies to be swallowed by the fog, Omegon headed into the murk to make rendezvous with his transport.